Ladies, appreciate that very much, and I hope that you're doing what that song says, seeking the Lord out. Colossians chapter 4 is where we're looking tonight. Colossians chapter 4. If you need a Bible, our ushers have those available. You just slip up your hand and take one, turn over to Colossians chapter number 4 as we study the Word of God here tonight. Anybody need one? Just slip your hand up. Otherwise, our ushers will have a seat and get with their families that way. Colossians chapter 4. And we'll look at two verses here tonight as our text, verses 7 and 8. We've been doing a study through the book of Colossians. We took Christmas and now New Year's off, and so we haven't been in this study for several weeks now, but we come back to it here in Colossians chapter 4, and we're at verse number 7 here in our study. We've got about three or four messages left here in the book of Colossians. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to be able to understand this passage. Father, really, as we look at Tychicus and we look at that man and who he was, and Father, the things that he did, and Father, I pray that we might take that as our own example. Lord, take that as somebody that we need to come along and emulate in many of the characteristics that Paul mentions here about this man. And Father, that we might be the fellow servant, fellow laborer that this man was to Paul. Or may we be that here in our ministry where we are at. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to the close of this book here in the book of Colossians, Paul gives us the names of five men. We just looked at the one in here in verse number 7, but there's five men starting in verse number 7 down through verse number 11. And he says of these five men that they are fellow laborers in the work of the ministry. And he's giving credit where credit is due to these who have helped him in the ministry. The first one we see is Tychicus. That's verse number 7. And that'll be featuring in our study tonight as we look at that. Then he names in verse number 9, we see it there, it says, with Onesimus. And so that is the next person that is mentioned there. And then in verse number 10, he mentions two people. He mentions Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And then he mentions Marcus, or John Marcus, we probably know him better as. He mentions him then. And then in verse number 11, we have a man called Jesus. His name is Jesus, but he's surnamed or called Justice by the disciples and by the people there. And so we have these five men that are mentioned. And look what Paul says at the end of verse number 11 about these men. He said, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. That is, Paul is saying about these five men that these are men, these five guys are people who have ministered to me and have ministered with me. They've ministered to me and with me. And Paul realizes here, even the greatest of soul winners, even the greatest of workers for God cannot do it alone. And he had some people that had come along. He had some men that had come along that encouraged him and who helped him in the ministry there. And they came right alongside of him and were saying, boy, we can do this. We can go out, and boy, we can continue to win, and we can continue to be used here. And they labored right alongside with the Apostle Paul. Really reminds me of our study that we did several weeks ago now back in the book of Exodus. Look over in Exodus chapter number 17, Exodus chapter number 17, your Bibles, and we see there what happened with Moses and the children of Israel in Exodus chapter number 17, and they were in battle against the Amalekites. If you remember, as we were talking about that, particularly when we looked at this story, we were talking about Hur and some things to learn from the life of Hur here. But in Exodus chapter number 17, it was that battle with Amalek that was going on. And you remember the story that Moses, as he kept his hands up, well, they were winning the battle. But as his hands got weary and they began to come down, well, then Amalek began to prevail. We see that in verse number 11 here in Exodus 17. And Amalek prevailed. So what had happened? Well, verse number 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So we see here, the Bible teaches us, the Bible tells us here, that Moses, boy, he had his hands up, but anybody knows gravity begins to take over, and Lord, and it begins to get a heavy burden to be able to hold your hands up. And so he had two men that came along. He had Aaron and Hur that came along, and they helped him. And they said, boy, you know, Moses, we need to get you a stone to sit on. They rolled a stone over there. They moved a stone over there to give Moses a place to sit down. And not only that, but they held up his hands, I think the one on one hand and the other on the other hand. And they were assisting Moses in the work that was going on here. And I don't know about you. Maybe you're too old to be the soldier down in the battlefield there. Maybe your health doesn't allow that. Or maybe you're just not that type of person. Whatever the case may be, but I know this, that it doesn't matter who you are, we can all be a help in the ministry. And maybe it's us that need to get a stone and come over here and help the man of God. Or maybe it's us who need to grab the arm of the man of God and say, I need to help him. There are people that were around the Apostle Paul. There's people around Moses, and there needs to be people around every man of God to go forward in the work. And you need to be that person who says, hey, I'm going to be used by God. I'm going to be a faithful person there. Remember, when Paul was writing Colossians, where was he? Well, if you know that, he's in prison. He's in Rome. He's not out having a good time on vacation. He's not on the beach somewhere and just saying, oh boy, what should I write Rome today? You know, he wasn't doing any of those things. He's not on vacation. He's in prison. He's in prison, and the Holy Spirit of God has put on his heart a burden, and he wants to relate that. He wants to write it down, probably some rat-infested place where he has to almost compete with his food that he might get with some rodent that's going on around there. See, but yet in prison, he had people that came and ministered to him. In prison, he had some people that were right along there and helping him. And I want to say right here at the onset of the message tonight, by way of really introduction here, that we need some men and we need some women to come along and help this pastor and help him be an effective minister for Christ. We need that. I'm honest when I say the workload here at Victory is more than any one person can do. And I praise the Lord for some godly men. I praise the Lord for some godly ladies who have come along and who are willing to help in the ministry here. They're willing to be used for the Lord. And I know that we're not a big church, and we don't have tons of staff and all these different things there, because we're a smaller church. I know and I realize that. But the staff that we do have, I praise the Lord for. For people who would labor really without a lot of thanks, without a lot of praise, without a lot of gratification necessarily in those things. They're just people who want to serve the Lord. And they're saying, hey, this is where God's put me, and I want to get involved, and I want to do some things here. And so I praise the Lord for our staff that's willing to do really whatever I ask them to do. They're even willing to go out of their comfort zone sometimes. Sometimes I ask them to do things, and they say, well, you know, that's not really me. That's not really what I do. And I said, that's okay. You know, I need somebody to do it. And if you're willing, and they're willing to jump in, and they're willing to do it. I praise the Lord for our bus workers, as I think about it, and that go out and faithful every week to go knock on some doors and go to say, hey, how are you coming tomorrow? I want you to come tomorrow, and try to remind them about church and try to follow up on contacts that they might have and try to get new riders out on the bus. And I'm thankful for our bus worker. I'm thankful for our bus drivers. I was thinking about our bus drivers this morning, 13 degrees outside. And boy, getting out here and getting on that cold tin can and trying to take it out to pick up some children that way. I'm thankful for our bus workers that would get out and do that, and our drivers that would do that. I'm thankful for our nursery workers that would be faithful to watch the children so that we can have a somewhat peaceful service here without babies crying and carrying on and all those things there with that. I think about our disciples who try to be a help in teaching people the Word of God. I think about those who go out on soul winning and go down the street and knocking on doors and trying to invite people to church and trying to give them the Word of God and teach them how to be saved that way. I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers who minister the Word of God every week, and whether it be a children's class or whether it be an adult class, whether it be the teenagers, however it might be, that they're seeking to teach our children, teach our teenagers, teach our men and women the Word of God. I'm thankful for our church cleaners, and I'm thankful for our lawn workers and the things that they do, and just so many different areas with it. And if I was to try to attempt to do all of these different things, guess what? I wouldn't do it. We'd tremendously scale back on what we could do here in our church. But we've got some faithful people. We've got some people who are coming alongside and working. I think about some faithful people that came alongside on a Resurrection Sunday this past year and was willing to set up some chairs and willing to direct some traffic and willing to sing and willing to do a lot of different things there with that. I think about those who were here for the ladies' outreach around Mother's Day, and they were wanting to be part of that, and they tried to get people, ladies, out to that. I think about those who got involved in an anniversary service and cooking the meals and trying to invite people out for that. I'm just saying that without some laborers in the ministry, we couldn't do what we've done here at our church. And I'm like the Apostle Paul, and I'm thankful for those who in this work, in this ministry, come together to try to see some people saved. I'm just praise the Lord for that. Dr. Chappell in California, he's known for saying this phrase, teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork makes the dream work. And you know, that's what I believe we've got here at Victory Bible Baptist Church. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for the people of our church. Look over in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Look what the Bible tells us. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. And look at verse number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 and verse number 9. The Bible says this. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 and verse number 9. The Bible says here, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. What's the Bible bringing out? Just simply a small principle here. Hey, it's better. Two people are better than one. Why? They can accomplish more. They're stronger together. That's the idea there. And we need some people that'll come together for the work of the ministry. Now, let's come back to Colossians chapter 4, and let's begin to study the life of Tychicus, or what we know about him. His name literally means fortunate one. Fortunate one. That's what Tychicus means. It means fortunate one. And can I say, he considered himself, I think, fortunate to be allowed to be serving God. He considered himself fortunate to be in the ministry and in the work of the ministry and involved in the work of ministry. We know from the book of Colossians, we also know from the book of Ephesians, that Tychicus was a divine mailman. I mean, that's what he was. He takes the letter of Colossians from Paul and takes it to the city of Colossae. We see in Ephesians chapter number 6, he does the same thing with the letter to Ephesus. He no doubt does it at the same time. And I want you to think there that would not be any small task. I want you to think for just a minute with me that you've got the Apostle Paul, and he's sitting in a jail cell, and God has just given him by inspiration the books of Ephesians, the books of Colossians. Some people think that Titus would have also been included here, and he's just penned those books, and he says, I need a faithful man. I need somebody who will realize that this is important. I need somebody who will go with this message and faithfully deliver it to those churches and to the man Titus. And I need somebody like that. And he says, I know somebody that I can use that way. I know somebody that can do the job, and I know somebody won't get a big head about it, and I know somebody that would just be glad to be involved in the ministry that way. And he says, Tychicus is my man. Tychicus is the guy that would do that. Now again, think in Paul's day, that was no easy task. They didn't have FedEx. They didn't have UPS. They didn't have the postal service, as much as they messed mail up. I was talking to my mom today, and she said she at work, she mailed 5 checks last week. None of those checks got to their destination, what she said through work. She had to rewrite all those checks. You know, our mail system is not necessarily always great. Sometimes it messes up there. But I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot better than what Tychicus had to go through. I want you to think, where's Paul? He's writing that in Rome. Tychicus, in order to deliver those messages, he had to go down to the southern part of Rome. That's quite a trek. If you look, not southern part of Rome, southern part of Italy. He had to go down to the horn of Italy, if you think about that, the shoehorn there of Italy. He got to go down to the southern part there. He has to cross the Aegean Sea there, the Adriatic Sea. I'll get my geography right. He has to cross the Adriatic Sea there. He'll get on land again, cross Greece by land, and then he would get into the Adriatic Sea. Did I say the right one? I don't know. One of those seas over there. But anyway, so he'll cross that going over there. He'll come to the port of Ephesus. And then to get to Colossae, he has to travel another 100 miles by overland all those way. It's a 1,300-mile trip to go from Rome to Colossae. Paul says, I know the man that can do that. I know a man that's not going to get tired and give up. Man, I know the man's not going to say, it's just a couple of letters, man. Who cares? Man, why am I going through all this? This is expensive. This is time laborious and those things. This is just not worth it. No. Tychicus says it's worth it. This is something that has to be done. And he got involved in here. And he's saying, I'm going to get the job done. And he was fortunate, and he considered himself fortunate to be God's divine mailman there. Can I say this just by way of application? We've been entrusted to be God's divine mailman too. We may not be a mailman delivering a letter to Colossae, but we are a mailman delivering the gospel to the people in need. We need to go with that message. We looked at that this morning, thinking about the Great Commission and what God has told us there. We looked at it just as the close of the message this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Tychicus is mentioned 5 times in the Bible, but here in Colossians, and nearly the same thing is said about him in the book of Ephesians, we see 3 traits, and that's what I want to focus in here today, tonight here about Tychicus, 3 traits about this man that would be a help to us and that we need to take note of. Notice the first thing here in Colossians chapter 4, and look at verse number 7, where the Bible says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you who is. Now here's the first thing that he is. He is a beloved brother. He's a beloved brother. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 21 would say this, but that ye also know my affairs, how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother. Same description of him over in the book of Ephesians there. Now, as a beloved brother, he could convey the heart of the Apostle Paul. That's what he was going to do. Look here in verse 7 again. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. That is, Tychicus was going to be somebody who was going to share what the Apostle Paul was feeling, what the Apostle Paul was going through. That is, that tells me that Tychicus is somebody who had spent some time with the Apostle Paul. We know from the book of Acts that he had been with Paul on his third missionary journey and traveled with him at least part of the way, if not all the way, through that third missionary journey here. And I'm just saying that that Tychicus knew much about the Apostle Paul. And while we don't know a whole lot about Tychicus, we do know the Apostle Paul. And we know much about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is the one who says, this guy is a beloved brother. This guy is somebody you need to take note of. This guy is somebody who's profitable for the ministry. This guy is somebody that you need to know. He's a beloved brother. Now notice a couple things here that tells us, that phrase, beloved brother, tells us about Tychicus. First thing is that he had the bond of friendship with the Apostle Paul. He had the bond of friendship with the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, Paul calls him beloved. Beloved. The word beloved expresses that Paul had great esteem for Tychicus, or that he was worthy of love. He was in essence saying something like this: this is a great man. You say, Tychicus? Yeah, Tychicus. He was a great man. He was beloved there. And we need to realize that. We need to understand that. And the scripture tells us that we ought to be people who esteem others. Well, Tychicus was somebody who was esteemed by Paul. Look over in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2, just real close here. In Philippians chapter number 2, look at verse number 3. In Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 3, look what the Bible says in verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind. Now, look what the Bible says. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Hey, Tychicus, what was he? He was beloved. He was esteemed. Paul was esteeming or mentioning about him. He was a person who was loved by the Apostle Paul. And Tychicus was somebody who would love others. And he would naturally have that esteem for others there. And the scriptures tell us that also, when we're thinking about that, that we ought to esteem pastors. We see that over in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Look over there, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and look at verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and verse number 12, the Bible says here, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them, that is, those who are over you in the Lord, that's pastors, that's what he's talking about here, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Can I say this about Tychicus? Tychicus was somebody who not only would esteem pastors, but he would be able to be esteemed by others, because if you read the book of Titus, you read the book of 2 Timothy, when we have Tychicus mentioned two of the other five times that he's mentioned there, he's mentioned as taking the place of a pastor. He would come and take the place of Titus. He would come to Ephesus and probably take the place of Timothy there. And he would serve as the role of a pastor. That is, Tychicus was somebody who could be a pastor, or Tychicus was somebody who could help a pastor. And by the way, that's exactly what we're called to do. We're either called to be a pastor or to help a pastor. All of us are. It doesn't matter who we are. If we know Jesus Christ is your Savior, that's what you've been called to. You've been called to help a pastor or either be a pastor. And we need to realize that. And whether it's delivering a letter, whether it's fulfilling a pulpit duty there, Tychicus did it. And Tychicus would be involved with it. So here it is. We see the Apostle Paul. He had the bond of friendship with Tychicus. Second thing, he had the bond of salvation with Tychicus. See, the Bible calls him, or I should say the Apostle Paul calls him, a beloved brother. Now, the fact that he's a brother didn't mean that that they had the same physical father. But it does mean that they had the same spiritual father. See, the word brother is a biblical word, isn't it? Look over in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 1, where the Bible says this, in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, now look at this, and Timotheus, our brother. Why does Paul refer to Timotheus as our brother here? Well, can I say this? When two people have the same father, they're brothers. Paul and Timothy had the same father. Well, it wasn't a physical father, but they've got the same spiritual father. So you got the same spiritual father, what do you got? You got brothers one with another here. And so Paul was realizing that, and Paul's calling Tychicus that type of person. He's a brother. That is, we've got a common bond here, and it's not just a friendship bond, it's the bond of salvation. It's the bond of salvation here. And can I say, we all need to have that bond. That's the greatest bond to have, the bond of salvation. Take your Bible and turn over to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. That's the greatest bond that anybody can have, is the bond of salvation with somebody. And if we don't know that we're on their way to heaven, we don't have that bond. We don't have that bond with individuals there. Look at the Bible in Galatians chapter number 3, and look at verse number 10. Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth in not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The Bible's bringing out here in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 10 that, hey, we're under the law. But wait a second, if I'm under the law, that means I've got to keep the whole law. You say, I'm trying to be a good person. All right, fine. Be a good person. Keep the whole law. If you don't, guess what? You're under the curse of the law. We don't have time to look there right now, but what's the curse of the law? It is here. Do or die. That's the curse of the law. If you don't keep the whole law, you're doomed to die. You're doomed to spend an eternity in hell. See, God's standard is perfection. And I'm afraid I don't meet that standard. But can I say this? Neither do you. No person who's ever lived has met that standard. But look at verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Well, why is it evident? Because we don't keep the law. We don't keep the standard. So the law cannot and will not and does not justify us, because the law says keep it all. Keep it, be perfect. Well, I fall short of that. I'm not there. I don't do those things. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Look at verse number 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now look at verse number 13. What good news verse 13 is. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Here it is. Christ knew that we were cursed in the law. Hey, we try to do good. We try to do that which is right. We try to keep the commandments of God and those things. But the fact is we've messed up. We've come short of the glory of God. We haven't done what God would say. And so Christ realized that we are destined to die and spend an eternity in hell. So the Bible says Christ would redeem us. The word redeem literally means to buy us out of the slave market of sin. He would buy us from the penalty of our sin. He would buy us out of what we deserve. That is, we deserve to hell. He would buy us out of that. Well, how did he do that? Well, the Bible says here, being made a curse for us. The book of Romans would bring it out that he shed his blood for us. He paid with his own blood. He died for us, the Bible says here. He was made a curse for us. For the Bible says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Here it is. The Bible is bringing out here, why did Jesus go to a cross? Why did he die some 2,000 years ago? He was being made a curse for us. He was dying for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That's why he did it. Look at verse number 22. Here in the same chapter, verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, now look at this, might be given to them that believe. Here it is. What's the Bible saying here? What did Jesus do? He died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. Now here, I can receive this freedom from sin. I can receive this curse taken away from me. How can I receive those things? Here it is. The promise by faith of Jesus Christ, what he did for me on the cross of Calvary, might be given to them that believe. That believe what? That believe what Jesus Christ did for them. That believe that he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. We trust, we believe on him. And now notice verse number 26. Same chapter, verse number 26. The Bible says this, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That is, hey, we become children of God. Thence we have the same Father. How does that happen? By faith in Christ Jesus. By trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And when a person places his faith in what Jesus does, you got the same Father as the next person who placed their faith. And so what do? We call each other brother. It's a great word. It's really a wonderful word that we can be brothers together. Why? Because I've trusted Christ, and if you've trusted Christ, you're my brother. Or if we want to be correct here, you're my sister, however that might be. But we're brothers and sisters in Christ here because we've got the same Father, because we trusted Jesus Christ together. And look what the Bible says over in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2. And look at verse number 10. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says here, look what the Bible says. He that loveth his brother, not talk about your physical brother, your spiritual brother. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. You know what? What should happen? Well, two people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior now are brothers. Here it is. that'll love one another. That'll love one another. They ought to be excited to be brothers. I know brothers every now and then have a little tiff. They have a little bit of getting back at each other and getting angry and ornery at each other a little bit. But here it is, brothers should love each other. Should love each other. You know what ought to happen in the church? A bunch of brothers and sisters ought to be loving each other. It's a wonderful thing. We ought to have that focus. Ought to have that idea there. We ought to have that love one for another there as the family of God. And I don't know about you, but my family, I'm talking about my immediate family, the people I go home with every night, okay? That's who I'm talking about. My family and my church family is who I'm closest with. That's the people that I hang around with. That's the people I do things with. That's the people I'm interested in seeing. I'm just a weird person. I like spending time with the family. Whether that's my home family or my church family. I'll tell you what, last Sunday night we had that New Year's Eve service. I enjoyed that New Year's Eve service. I planned it and everything, and I started thinking, you know, a few weeks before it, I started thinking, going all the way to midnight? Shoo! Like, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I don't know. Man, that's a long time. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my wife that. But I was thinking that. And I was thinking that, boy, you know, that's going to be a long time and everything. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to be falling asleep. It's going to be bad if the preacher's falling asleep. This is not going to be good. But I'll tell you what. I got around the people of God, and I was excited. I just had a great time. And before I knew it, it was midnight. If you were here, you know it was before I knew it. I almost didn't. We were supposed to be praying in the new year together, and I almost didn't make it. I was having a good time with the people of God. I just like to get together with the family. I think it's a wonderful thing. And Tychicus was somebody like that for Paul. He said he's a beloved brother. He said, boy, we love it when we get together. It's a great thing. Hey, he's my friend. He's my brother in Christ. It's great to have a beloved brother that way. But secondly, we see that Tychicus is called a faithful minister. A faithful minister. Now that means that Tychicus had the characteristics of Jesus about him. Look over in the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 10, and verse number 45, what the Bible says here about Jesus, or I should say what Jesus says about Jesus, because he's speaking here. And look what he says in Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 45. The Bible says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. As Paul calling Tychicus, he's a faithful minister. Hey, that's like Jesus. What did Jesus do? The Bible says Jesus came to minister. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many there. And that's this man Tychicus. And above all, Paul found that this man was a faithful man. He was a faithful minister. He was the thing that God is really looking for all of us. He wants us to be people who are faithful. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 2, where God says this about all of his people. People who know him as a Savior, look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. The Bible says this, moreover is required in stewards. Now here it is, that a man be found faithful. Tychicus was somebody who was dependable. Tychicus was somebody who said, hey, I can trust you with a 1,300-mile trip, with some letters from the hand of the Apostle Paul, from the very inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, and you can go over land, and you can go over water, and you deliver the very words of God. I found a faithful man in Tychicus. Now, notice two things about that. Number one, Tychicus had a trusted position. He had a trusted position with the Apostle Paul, not only here in Colossians, but the church, the letter to the church of Ephesus here, Paul calls him this faithful minister. There was a lady who was going to jump out of an airplane. You know, she's going to do a parachute, skydive type of thing like that. This was her first time doing it on her own, her solo. You know, you got to do it a couple times before that. You do a tandem jump and those things, but this is her first solo jump. She was so thrilled, and she was so excited about it. And so the instructor took her up in the airplane, and they've got her up there, you know, about 30,000 feet or something like that. And she's looking out the window, or out the door, I should say, and she's getting all ready to jump. And he says, whoa, wait a second. Let me just go over it here and just remind you what we got to do here. First of all, that big cord, you know, that's what you're going to pull. You get down around 15,000 feet. Make sure you're looking at your altimeter there. And about 15,000 feet, that's where you want to pull that large cord there. And she says, okay, I got it. He said, whoa. If that one doesn't open, you better know what you're going to do after that. And she says, all right, I got it. I'm pull the small cord. Right. So big cord first. If nothing happens, pull the small cord. When you get down to the bottom, there's going to be a red pickup truck there to pick you up, and everything's going to be fine. She's okay, man. This is great. So she jumps out of the plane. Now, some of you right here have just totally thought this lady has lost her mind just by the fact that she would jump out of this plane. But anyway, she does it. She jumps out of the plane and she goes to pull the large cord, and nothing happens. She says, whoa, that's not good. And so she pulls the second cord. Nothing happens. She says, oh, great. I bet there's not going to be a red pickup truck down there either. You know, everybody is looking for somebody to be faithful. That's what we want. We want somebody to be faithful. Can I say this? Hey, listen up. There's no such thing as a little job with God. There's no such thing as a little job with God. It doesn't matter what your job in this church is, or it doesn't matter what your position is in your family, or it doesn't matter what your job is that you use for making money here. The question is, are you faithful at the task that's given to you? See, everyone needs to be faithful. And can I say this? Every wife here tonight deserves a faithful husband. And every husband here tonight deserves a faithful wife. And every employer that you're going to go to tomorrow deserves a faithful employee. And can I say this? God deserves faithful ministers. He deserves faithful church members who look to get involved and who look to do what God would have to do, God having them do. And boy, I put my name down on that ministry involvement. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for you to be faithful in the task of what you said you were going to do. And he's looking for that. Dependability is the greatest ability a person can have. And you might say, hey, but they don't know me. They don't know. No. They may not know you, but they can know if you're faithful. Who is Tychicus? I don't know, but I know he's faithful. I know he's a faithful minister. But the Apostle Paul was excited to be counted faithful to God. Look over in the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and verse number 12. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and verse number 12, look what the Bible says. In verse number 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Can I say God is looking for faithful servants? He found one in Tychicus. He found one in the Apostle Paul. Can I say, does he find one in you? Does he find one in you? Tychicus had a trusted position. But I notice the second thing here, that Tychicus had a humble position. He had a humble position. The word minister in the Greek is the word diakonos. Diakonos, or diakonos, I think is how you pronounce it actually there. It's the same word that we get deacon from. Now, in our society today, deacons have been elevated to a position really that is not biblical. That is, we think about deacons running the church. We think about deacons as great spiritual advisors. We think about deacons in this position that way. But in actuality, when we come back to the Bible and we come back to Acts chapter number 6, what was a deacon? Well, he had a job to wait on tables. Wait on tables for widows. Don't take this wrong, but I can say it this way. The old ladies of the church. It's literally what they were, right? The widows that way. And you were supposed to go around and make sure they had everything they need. You need a meal? Meals on wheels. That's me. Mr. Deacon. Meals on wheels. Boy, I'm going to bring it over here. And make sure you get something to eat. Make sure you're taken care of that way. I want to make sure that that the door is working properly. I know the ladies like that. They want to make sure they don't get any drafts in their house. So you're going to make sure there's no draft and all those. Hey, that sounds like a glamorous job, doesn't it? That was a deacon. That's the Bible example of a deacon. That's what they were looking for there. And Tychicus was a minister. What's that mean? He was a servant. He was a humble servant. No job was too small. You know, humility is one of those traits that a Christian ought to have and ought to exhibit in his life. It's the second most mentioned characteristic in the Bible, second only to love. It's mentioned only over 40 times in the Bible, and it describes Tychicus. It describes who this man is. He would clean toilets or he would preach in the pulpit. It didn't matter. He wanted to be a minister for Christ. And can I say, that's what we should consider ourselves to be, ministers for Christ. Look over in the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 6. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 6. Who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament? What's he made us? Able ministers of the New Testament. God has put in us the ability, can I say it that way? The ability to be a minister. You know what we need at Victory Bible Baptist Church? Some faithful ministers. That's what we need, some faithful ministers like Tychicus was. Look at the third thing that we notice about Tychicus. Number one, he was a beloved brother. Number two, he was a faithful minister. Number three, he was a fellow servant in the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul says about him. He's a fellow servant in the Lord. While Paul, in all likelihood, never visited the church of Colossae, he was always worried about the church of Colossae. We would say something like this, that Paul had a pastor's heart. That is, he was concerned about the people there. You can't read the book of Colossians and not notice Paul's concern for the people. He had that pastor's heart. And some describe a pastor's heart as a heart for the church and for the people. That is, they're concerned about the people and what they're going through. I heard it described this one way, that staying up late, that's for the assistant pastor. But the pastor, he stays up late at night praying for the church. The assistant pastor will stay up late playing games with the church. The pastor will stay up praying for so-and-so that's sick. And what's going to happen on the bus route tomorrow? And our kid's going to get on the bus. And boy, he's got that thinking and that focus in his mind there. He's always concerned about the people. He's always concerned about what the people is going through. And can I say, as Tychicus, he's got a pastor's heart about him. See, what was he sending Tychicus for? Turn back over there, Colossians, if you're not there. Colossians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 7 again. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Now notice verse 8. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that is to relate my state to you, and that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Why was he being sent there? Because Tychicus was somebody who could comfort them. Tychicus was somebody who could be a help. Now notice two things about Tychicus here, and we're done. First of all, he was a messenger. The Bible says here in this passage, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. That is, he was to give a report to the church about how was Paul doing. You know, the church, and if you've got a right church, they're worried about Paul. He's sitting over in Rome. And what's going on? He says, Tychicus, you go tell him how I'm doing. Tychicus could relate. Why? Tychicus has spent time with him. He knew him. He knew the Apostle Paul's heart. And I think Tychicus is going over there saying, you know, don't worry about the Apostle Paul. He's doing fine. He's right where God wants him. Boy, you know, he witnessed to that soldier the other day, and boy, that soldier was under conviction. I think that soldier got saved the other day when the Apostle Paul was taken to it. Hey, Apostle Paul's doing great. It's wonderful. He's giving a report to the church how Paul's doing, and I think he's relating to the church that Paul's doing fine. Don't worry about him there. But then he's going to comfort the church. He's going to be an encouragement to the church. See, we've been sent with a purpose. We've been sent with something that God wants us to do. The Bible would say in John chapter number 20 and verse number 21, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 20, we're called ambassadors for Christ. That is, we're going forth. We have a job to do. We're being sent like this man was being sent there. And can I say, when you get up tomorrow, it's no accident God's got a plan for you. It's no accident that God's got something he wants you to accomplish there. And whether it's for our Christian school teachers, whether it's teaching some students, or whether it's you that are going to the secular job there, and maybe he wants you to be a witness to somebody at your job tomorrow, or whatever. I'm just saying, God's got a purpose for your life. He's got something he wants you to do, just like God had a purpose here for Tychicus and wanted to be involved. Look at lastly, quickly, that he was the encourager. Not only was he sent as a messenger, but he served as an encourager here. When the Bible says here, Paul says that he would comfort your hearts. Now, it's interesting. The same word comfort that's used here of Tychicus is the same word comfort that's used of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter number 14, in verse number 16, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." That is, he says, I'm going to give you the comforter. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And what's the Holy Spirit going to be? Well, he's going to be a lot of things to us, but one of the things that he's going to be is a comforter, an encourager, a help to our spirit. That's what he's going to be. Who was Tychicus? He'd be a comforter. He'd be somebody who's saying, "Hey guys, you can do this. Hang in there. Don't give up. Hey, the fight's something we need to be involved with. The fight's something we need to get in and doing. Hey, we need to be an encouragement." And Tychicus was an encouragement to the church there of Colossae. There, Jack was taking his young daughter to school one day. And as he was taking her to school, he came up to a four-way intersection there, and there was a red light there, and he went ahead and made a turn. And just as he was making that turn, finishing the turn, he realized and caught the sign. He had seen it before, but he forgot. It said, "No turn on red." He said, "Man, wouldn't you know it? I just made an illegal turn, an illegal right turn." His daughter sitting in the back seat, she said, "Daddy, don't worry about it. The policeman behind us did the same exact thing. Don't worry about it." She was trying to be an encouragement to her father. She wasn't. She wasn't an encouragement. But she's trying to be an encouragement. Can I say, Tychicus knew how to be an encouragement. He knew how to do it. Different than that little girl did. He knew how to be a help, be an encouragement to the people there of God. To be faithful in the work, to not give up in the face of hard times, and he would encourage them to go forward for Christ and be bold in their witness for Christ. You know, that's the ministry that we need to have. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and look at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Look what the Bible tells us. The Bible says in verse number 4 here, "Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." You know, we all have a ministry, and we've been through who knows what in our life, but God's allowed us to go through those things. Why? So that we can be a comfort, we can be a help to other people. And boy, you've got some people that are facing some hard times. You know, it's your job to come alongside of them and be like a Tychicus and say, "Hey, don't give up now. Boy, don't put down the fight. It's time to go. It's time to be used of God. Hey, let's continue to go on." Can I say this? The world is waxing worse and worse. And I believe that you should come to church, and I think you should have some refreshment when you come to church. You go out in the world, and you're on the battle lines. But when you come to church, I think we should have some refreshments, and we should have some refreshments from some faithful members. If you will, we should have some Tychicuses here in our church. Be an encouragement, be a refreshment, be a help as we go on in our fight for Christ, for what Christ would have us to do. You know, Proverbs asks the question in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6, "Most men will proclaim as everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" Are you a faithful man for Christ? Are you a faithful woman for Christ? Are you like a Tychicus? Hey, this is somebody that'll be a help to you. This is somebody I could send. This is somebody who's faithful in the task. Would we be faithful? Would we be encouraging others in what God would have us to do? Let's be like a Tychicus as we think about that here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the challenge of the life of Tychicus. And Lord, we really don't know much about this man. But Father, we do know that he was somebody who was commended by the Apostle Paul. Lord, he was somebody who was a faithful man. Father, he was somebody who was an encourager. He was somebody who loved the work of the ministry. And Father, he wanted to get involved in it, and he wanted to do it. He wanted to be doing everything that you wanted him to do. Lord, I pray that we take from his example the same way, that we would be faithful in the ministry of which you would have us to be involved with. Lord, particularly as we think there about Victory Bible Baptist Church and this ministry. Lord, I pray that you'd use us to be faithful ministers. Maybe you're here tonight, and you're here tonight, and you've never come to faith in the person of Jesus Christ. That is, you've never come to the point of saying, I'm in the family of God. I've got brothers and sisters here together. And you realize tonight, boy, coming into the family of God is meaning that I'm going to put my faith, I'm going to trust on Jesus Christ to be my way to heaven. He redeemed me. He died for me on the cross of Calvary, and I'm trusting in what he did to get me to heaven. And if you're here like that tonight and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, may I be able to pray for you? May I be able to bring you before the throne room of God, and you would just be saying, hey, tonight I'm trusting God. I'm trusting, I should say, Christ as my Savior. I'm believing on him to be my way to heaven. If you're here like that tonight, I'd like to be able to pray for you. I'd like to bring you before God. I'd like to ask for his strength and his help for you as you grow in your Christian life here together. But I ask you here, and maybe you're here tonight and say, just, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm trusting Jesus Christ to be my way to heaven. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that here tonight? I can just pray for you that way. Second question is simply this. Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to be a Tychicus. I want to be a faithful member. I want to be a faithful minister. I want to be an encourager. I want to be everything that God would have me to be. Would you pray for me tonight? Anybody, lift up your hand. Yeah, I see those hands. Heavenly Father, I pray we be a Tychicus. Lord, I pray that you've even challenged my heart. Lord, I know you've challenged my heart with the message, the Lord, to be an encourager, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, no matter the task, and Father, we've got individual tasks and we've got different things that you've called us to do. Lord, may we be faithful to do what you would have us to do. Lord, I thank you for what you've shown us here tonight. I pray we carry it out now. In Jesus' name, amen.